In our last Jewish history lecture, we delved into the personalities of Abaye and Rava, about whom the Talmudic discussions are named. They lived during the 4th century, at which time in Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud Yerushalmi was compiled, a new calendar was created by Hillel II, and the spiritual power in Eretz Yisrael began to decline. There were two great yeshivas in Bavel, Sura and Pumpadisa, and the center at this time was Pumpadisa. In the course of the generations, new levels of Jewish teaching and Jewish law based on the Mishnah emerged and took shape in Israel and Bavel in the form of discussions that almost always interpreted, expanded on, or supplemented statements of the Mishnah. During the long presidency of Rav Ashi of Sura, from 371 to 427, these discussions were summarized and edited in the form of the Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, which follows the orders of the Masechtos and the Prakim of the Mishnah. Now, who was Rav Ashi? So Rav Ashi was born in 352. As I mentioned, he died in 427. He is the most celebrated Babylonian Amora of the sixth generation of Amorai. He was born, according to the Gemara in Kiddusha, Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, he was born the year that Rava died. He lived in Masa Machasya, which was south of Sura by the Euphrates River. He is the son-in-law of Rami Bar Abba, who is mentioned approximately 30 times in the Gemara. He has a number of Rabbeim. His primary Rebbe was Rav Kahana. And as I mentioned, he was the president of the yeshiva, this of Masa Machasya, for approximately 60 years. During his leadership as Rosh Yeshiva of Masa Machsaya, the Persian ruler Yazdegerd had a general policy of tolerance for minorities, including Jews. And the Gemara, for example, in Ksuvas Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, reports that Rav Ashi met with him together with Amebar and Marzutra. Now, it seems that Rav Ashi was very wealthy, as the Gemara in a number of places mentions that he possessed a forest, he had a servant, he owned fancy utensils. In fact, in the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, Rav Acha Berei de Rava says that from Mimos Rebbe Va'ad Rav Ashi Lo Matzidu Tolo Gdula B'makum Acher, B'makum Echad, that from the time of Rebbe until Rav Ashi, we don't find anyone who was both supreme in He was supreme in both Torah and in worldly affairs. And partially, perhaps, because Rebbe compiled the Mishnah, and Rav Ashi was instrumental in compiling the Gemara. One famous custom that we have, perhaps, could be attributed to Rav Ashi. The idea of breaking the glass at a wedding, it potentially could be based on the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, it states that Rav Ashi of Hilul Lebrei, Rav Ashi made a big party for his son, Chazuna, the Rabbanon Dehava Kabat Chituba. He saw that the rabbis were laughing too much, and there was too much levity. I say, Kasa de Zugisa Chiyuta Vatavar Kamahiu Va'ad Sivu. So he brought a very fancy vessel, a fancy cup, and he broke it, so they were sad. In other words, that broke the levity. This could be the idea when that you could get inappropriate when you're full of so much joy, so we need to temper the moment. That could be the reason for breaking the glass at a chuppah, at least according to one approach. Now Rashi and the Rambam believe that Rav Ashi was the editor of the Talmud Bavli. And the reason is probably, number one, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Vav Min Aleph. And there the Gemara says that Rebbe, the Rabbi Nasan, Sof Mishnah, and Rav Ashi Ravina, Sof Horah, that Rebbe and Rav Nasan were the end of the Mishnah, and Rav Ashi and Ravina were the end of Horah. So Rashi understands that Sof Horah means Sof Kol HaAmoraim, and Rashi goes on to explain that he was the end of the Amoraim, and that Rav Ashi and Ravina arranged the Talmudic statements that until their time, the Gemara wasn't learned in an order, but when there was a question, so there or a new situation arose, either financial or ritual matter, so everyone would say their reason. Rav Ashi Ravina organized everything, and they established the Masechtos and the Gemaras that were related to each Mishnah, and they added some phrases to make the Gemara reading easier, like Eisvei, Meisvei, or Minhu Iboilahu. And so Rashi certainly uses this Gemara as a source. The Rambam in his introductory Yad Chazakah writes that Ravina Ravashi Heim Sof Chach Mei Gemara. The Ravina Ravashi were the ends, were the last scholars of the Gemara. And Ravashi Hu Shechivar Gemara Bavli's Berach Shinar. And Ravashi composed the Babylonian Talmud in Bavel. Now, you could understand that Sof Hora'a means the last of the Amoraim, potentially. In other words, Hora could simply mean an authoritative ruling, and maybe it means that Ravashi Ravina marked the end of the Amoraic period, as that they were the last to teach a certain style, maybe. In Rav Shrira Gaon's historical work, in the Ger of Shrira Gaon, so he understands Ravina to refer to a later Ravina who lived many years after Ravashi, and he writes that Ravina is Sof Hora, not Ravashi. The truth is there are multiple Ravinas. The two best known Ravinas are Ravina the First, who died in 422, who studied under Rava, and he was a contemporary of Ravashi. However, there is another Ravina, and who's Ravina the Second, who died in 499, and this is the Ravina about whom Rav Shrira Gaon says composed edited the Gemara. There's a second source that's perhaps used to the fact that Ravashi edited the Gemara, and that is that in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, there's a reference to a Madura Kama of Ravashi and a Madura Basra of Ravashi, and so maybe the Madura means an edition of the Talmud. Not so clear. It might not mean that. Could simply mean a review of Ravashi's personal teachings, which has nothing to do with an official version of the Gemara. In any case, there are many passages in the Talmud that cite and analyze sayings and practices of Ravashi. And this implies that a later group of editors received traditions from or about Ravashi and discussed them, just as they did for all previous Amoraim. There is a statement in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, which says that Ravashi says, Ana avde lamasa machasya de lo charva. He says, I have protected masa machasya from being destroyed. Then the Gemara says, Vaha charva, but behold, it was destroyed. There's some anonymous questioner who asked this question. So he must have lived many years after Ravashi. Nevertheless, it's clear that Rav Ashi contributed significantly to the substance of Talmud Bavli, and most likely to the beginning of the summary and edition of the Talmud Bavli during his presidency from 371 to 427. Maybe we need to distinguish between Aricha, arranging, and Chasima, sealing. Perhaps Rav Ashi arranged the Talmudic study before him with the correct text in an organized fashion, and he very often cites an entire sugya, an entire topic, and he concludes with his opinion at the very end of the sugya. Additionally, the terms of Meisvei, Iboilahu, Teiku, and others are associated with Ravashi. However, it's clear that the Talmud was not sealed with him. There are statements from the Gemara that come after him. You can say that just as Rebbe was the organizer of the Mishnah, Ravashi was the organizer of the Talmud, even though there were others who finished editing after him. It seems like good political and economic climate afforded Ravashi the time to engage in this project, similar to Rebbe in composing the Mishnah. Now, what is the difference between the Talmud Bavli and the Mishnah? While the Mishnah contains questions of only of halacha in an edited form, The Talmud includes large sections in other areas of national life, including brilliant insights into legal and philosophical sections and discussions that led to rulings and investigations conducted by the rabbis in their attempt to solve theoretical or legal problems. We do not possess the Talmud Bavli on the entire Mishnah, not on Masechtos dealing with issues relating to the Beis Hamikdash, some of Kachim, and not dealing with Land of Israel issues like most of Zeraim. The Talmud Bavli was constructed on the pattern, same pattern of the Talmud Yerushalmi, and many Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael are quoted in the Talmud Bavli. Nevertheless, there were many differences between the two Talmuds. The language, the different dialects, the Western versus Eastern Aramaic. The Talmud Yerushalmi was far more concise and had less detailed legal discussions. And the Talmud Yerushalmi gained little currency outside Israel. Perhaps the influence of the Babylonian academies, the Gaonim weighted the and the Gaonim of Babel weighted the scales in favor of the Talmud of their land. The Talmud Bavli became the basic asset of Jewish tradition, the foundation of Jewish thought, and the guide for the daily life of the Jew. In almost every period and community until the modern age, the Talmud was the main object of Jewish study and education. This was the only permanent reality in Jewish life. As I mentioned, the final edition of the Talmud Bavli dates from the 5th century. It was concluded and handed down to the coming generations in the times of forced conversions and persecutions, in the days of Rav Yossi of Pumpedisa and Ravina, most likely the last leader of Sura in 499.